Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not. The website 538.com currently reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 88.6% of the time, up slightly from last week.
The American Farm Bureau reports that the U.S. Senate begins marking up their version of the Farm Bill on June 13th. In the U.S. House of Representatives, John Faso voted for their version of the Farm Bill May 18th, but not enough of his fellow Republicans joined him and it failed, 198-213. It did not pass there because conservative Republicans used the Farm Bill as a bargaining chip to get a vote in an immigration bill, and because no Democrats voted for the bill, because Republicans added more work requirements for recipients of food stamps. There was a May 3rd pray-in outside Faso's Kingston office protesting his vote for that version of the bill. The existing Farm Bill expires this fall. The seven Democrats in the congressional primary June 26 for New York's 19th district are now in the stunt campaign portion of the election. The Daily Freeman reports that Pat Ryan is marching from the home of President Franklin D. Roosevelt in Hyde Park to U.S. Representative John Faso's district office in Kingston Saturday, June 16th. Ryan says he's doing the march to demand action to end gun violence, but he and other candidates are attempting to stand out in the crowded field. The Times Union reported that David Clegg began a three-day, 200-mile bike trip June 6, visiting a number of pollution hotspots in the district on the way. Gareth Rhodes has been at this longer, visiting all 163 towns and cities in the district before the June 26 vote. Aaron Collier, Jeff Beals, Antonio Delgado, and Brian Flynn are also running in the June 26 election, with the winner facing incumbent John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, in November. Local Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, and New York Senator Chuck Schumer don't always agree, and Faso and President Trump don't often disagree. 538.com website currently reports Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 88.3% of the time. But this week, both Faso and Schumer tweeted against Trump's position that Russia should rejoin the G7 conference as the G8. Faso tweeted, and I quote, "President Trump is wrong to suggest bringing Putin's Russia back to G7 nations. Russia continues to be a malign influence around the world and should be excluded until it alters its behavior," end quote. Schumer agreed, tweeting, and I quote, "Readmitting Russia to the G7 would reward Vladimir Putin for actions the U.S. and its allies have condemned and would clearly be contrary to Americans' interests. The president's foreign policy decision-making seems to become more erratic every day," end quote. Russia was kicked out of the G8 after invading Ukraine and shooting down a passenger airplane. Dan Friedman reports in the Albany Times Union that opinion is split among local representatives after President Donald Trump's meeting with North Korea dictator Kim Jong-un in Singapore. Trump agreed to end military exercises on the Korean Peninsula and invite the dictator to the U.S. while receiving a vague promise of more negotiations. Representative John Faso, Republican of Kinderhook, said, and I quote, "President Trump and the administration should be commended for groundbreaking efforts with the ultimate goal of denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. There is a lot of work to be done and many potential obstacles. However, there is a renewed sense of optimism that this time negotiations will yield a different result," end quote. New York Senator Chuck Schumer disagreed on the Senate floor June 12th, and I quote, "By granting a meeting with Chairman Kim, President Trump has granted a brutal and repressive dictatorship the international legitimacy it has long craved. For the United States, it's permanent proof that we have legitimized a brutal dictator who has starved his own people. If the United States is unable to win concrete, lasting concessions from North Korea, the meeting alone will be a victory for Kim Jong-un." New York's other Senator Kirsten Gillibrand tweeted, and I quote, "I hope North Korea is serious about this effort and determined to join the international community. And I encourage the Trump administration to do the hard work of getting a strong, verifiable agreement," end quote. And you can read the full story in the Albany Times Union. In a June 12th press release, Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, and I quote, applauded the passage of H.R. 5685, the Medicare Opioid Safety Education Act of 2018, by voice vote, end quote. The bill only passed in the U.S. House and needs Senate and presidential approval to become law. Faso's press release said about the bill he sponsored, and I quote, "This bill will improve efforts to educate seniors on alternatives to traditional opioid pain medication through the Medicaid Part D program. Nearly one in three seniors on Medicaid Part D were prescribed an opioid during 2016. That statistic underlies just how prevalent the use of opioid painkillers is among seniors who often are dealing with issues stemming from chronic pain," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "One of the best ways to combat the opioid crisis is to better educate the public on these risks and to educate them on alternatives. I am glad this common sense legislation has passed the House and will be included in a large package of opioid bills being sent to the Senate," end quote. On June 12th, Faso also voted for the Comprehensive Opioid Recovery Centers Act, which got 383 votes, with 13 Republicans voting against. Chris McKenna reports at The Fray that a U.S. House Republican Super Political Action Committee is reserving $1 million for advertisements to support Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, in the congressional election this fall. The Congressional Leadership Fund is buying ad time for Faso and nine other Republican incumbents this year. Corey Bliss, executive director of the Super PAC, said in a press release on June 11th, and I quote, "Thanks to Speaker Paul Ryan and Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy's leadership in Congress, CLF continues to break fundraising records, allowing us to be more aggressive in adding new races and increasing our previous buys. These efforts ensure that CLF will have the resources needed to prevent Republican members of Congress from being outspent this fall," end quote. Seven Democrats are facing off in the June 26 primary election to face Faso in November. Among the Democrats, Antonio Delgado had more money in his coffers than Faso as of March 31st, with Pat Ryan and Brian Flynn slightly behind Faso's money on hand. And you can read that full story at The Fray.
On June 14th, Faso voted for the Thrive Act, which would force some people receiving vouchers for public housing into substance abuse programs. The bill passed 230 to 173, with only a few Republicans voting against and only a few Democrats voting in favor.